You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. We have been off the air for the last 2 days. Every first Tuesday of the month, we have the Dallas Community College District Trustees meeting, which knocks the schedule, locks me out in terms of my show as well as people before and after me. So that was one reason why we didn't have a broadcast Tuesday. Nothing I can do about that. However, we did have a serious technical problem yesterday. We really could not get internet access, which is rather critical because we record the show off of the internet. We are today, right now, broadcasting over the internet. We're a web radio station. And if you can't get the internet, you have a problem recording it. That issue has been resolved, so we're back on the air. However, today is going to be a rather short show, probably no more than 30 minutes, because I was waiting for the results of the vote in the House of Representatives, and it was scheduled for 2:30 to 3:30 Eastern Standard Time in terms of the votes. And what I'm talking about is, this is the vote to establish a select committee in the House of Representatives to investigate the events surrounding the Benghazi attacks that occurred September 11th and in the morning of September 12th in Benghazi, Libya. And that is where four Americans, including an American ambassador, Chris Stevens, two CIA contractor security personnel, former Navy SEALs were killed, as well as another State Department employee, a total of four. Now, I want to alert you, I have written an article on this that will be appearing in the Tuesday paper. I'll probably post it on my website for this show, my companion website. And for those new to the show, the way you listen to the show, as well as get my notes for the show, is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have the links for the last 60 shows. And at the very bottom, you have links for all my shows, as well as if you click on it, you'll get additional information. But in between, and this is why I always point this out, I give you a lot of information that I've looked when I prepared the show. And that could be articles, it could be photographs, charts, tables, graphs, depends on the story. Some news stories are more picture-oriented, some are YouTube-oriented, others are really articles. Now, I give you this information, and it's rather selective, so you can get an idea of some of the information I've been looking at. Now, I don't give you all the information, because that would be too long, but to the extent that you have time, I always say do your own homework. In other words, have an open mind, make up your own mind, but before you do that, don't have any preconceived judgments. Do some reading, or if you don't like to read, watch some videos, or at least look at the pictures. Now today I really have two stories. One I was going to do Tuesday, and other I was going to do Wednesday, but they're all related to what's actually happening today. Now the big story today, and we're waiting for that vote in Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives to establish this committee. And this will be a 12-man committee made up of seven Republicans and five Democrats. And one of the issues is the Democratic leadership has not announced whether or not it wants to be on this committee. They have been making sounds or speeches saying, well, this is just a stunt. It's a kangaroo court. We're not going to cooperate. We're just going to boycott the committee. Well, I personally hope they do that. I think they would be rather foolish to do it for a number of reasons, but if that's the way they want to play, fine, don't show up. But the way House Speaker Boehner has set up this committee is 7 will be Republicans, 5 will be Democrats. The other thing the Democrats were demanding is equal numbers of people on the committee. Now, remember, this is a House Select Committee. This committee is going to be compared to Watergate. And I did a little research for this show. The Watergate Committee, you remember this was a Senate Select Committee, was a smaller committee. It had four Democrats, 3 Republicans. And remember, as a result of that investigation and testimony before Congress, ultimately what happened is a Republican president of the United States was forced to resign, and that's what he did on August 9th, 1974. I point this out because what was that about? Operatives of the Republican Party broke in to the national headquarters of the Democratic Party that was located in the Watergate apartment and office complex. It was about a break-in, a burglary, breaking into the office looking for information. What you need to understand is Richard Nixon won that election in a landslide. A landslide, folks. It wasn't even close at all. Yet, people that supported him got him in trouble. And the trouble was they covered up that break-in. But the real thing that really hung Richard Nixon was the fact that he had a recording system in the basement recording conversations in the White House. And instead of destroying the tapes before they were subpoenaed, had he done that, he would have served out his entire 4 years. Because he really served only about a year and 8 months. Not even a year and 8 months. A year and 7 months and going on 2 weeks. All because of the investigation that this committee did. And they did a great job. But the key was the committee appointed both a majority party, in this case the Democratic Party, just like today, the Democrats control the Senate. Well, back in 1973 and 4, the Democratic Party controlled the Senate. And as a result, they went after Nixon. They were trying to ultimately impeach him. And then if he was found guilty, would have to leave office. But they discovered that a lot of the conversations were recorded. So they subpoenaed it, and Nixon delayed and delayed and delayed releasing those tapes. Had he destroyed it prior to the subpoena, much of the information that really would prove his innocence or guilt would have been destroyed. And like I said, he would have served out his term. So don't dismiss these select committees. But the big difference is you have both a majority and minority counsel. They're attorneys that are very professional and they're skilled in cross-examining witnesses. They're usually either prosecutors or defense attorneys that in a trial before a jury are very, very good at asking questions and getting answers. And that's truly what we need here, because part of the problem that we have in the investigations that have gone on prior to this, we don't have a lead counsel asking questions. The way it works both in the Senate and in the House, what we have is a round of questions where each congressman, both of the majority and minority party, if you have one round of questions, is given 5 minutes to ask a question and get an answer. And that's it. So there's no real methodical line of questions. It's somewhat random. And unfortunately, some congressmen of both parties engage instead of asking specific questions and letting the witness testify, they grandstand. The existing committee system in Congress, whether it's the House Oversight Committee, the Armed Services Committee, or the Intelligence Committee, they can do the investigation, but the way they're set up, it's very difficult for them to really get at the truth. And what's really been going on, and this is why, and you need to understand, the House Speaker resisted a call by over 190 Republicans in the House to have a select committee, to establish one. He thought that the normal committee structures could handle it. What happened? The White House, as well as other departments in his administration, dragged it out. They stonewalled. In other words, the committee would ask for documents and they would wait, wait, and wait. And when they finally got the documents, most, if not all of the documents, were redacted, which is a fancy way to say they were blacked out. So the administration has said, and I've heard a number of Democrats say, well, we've given 25,000 documents to various committees of the House and the Senate investigate. Enough is enough. The problem is they have not been forthcoming with the information. They have not been responsive to subpoenas asking for this. As a matter of fact, they have been obstructing justice, which is a crime, because Congress, one of the functions of Congress, both in the House and the Senate, is oversight of the executive branch. That is set forth in the Constitution, and that is the responsibility of the Congress to make sure the executive branch, including their president, is doing its job and not breaking the law, but enforcing the law. Now, that could be a separate show in and of itself, because Senator Cruz, the junior senator from Texas, this week gave a speech on the 76 major laws that the Obama administration is not enforcing. You see, the executive branch, while it does have some discretion, it is not in the business, it's not its function, to write the laws. That is the job of the Congress, both the House and the Senate. So you don't get to rewrite the laws or not enforce the laws. You swear an oath when you become president to faithfully defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. And it's abundant and clear that President Barack Obama is not doing it. He is violating his oath of office. He has become a tyrant, because this is what dictators and tyrants do. They ignore the will of the people. They ignore their representatives in the House and in the Senate. So John Boehner reversed himself. Now, why did John Boehner suddenly reverse himself? Because for months now, over 190 members of Congress, the numbers fluctuated, wanted the Speaker, John Boehner, to have a vote on the establishment or creation of a select committee to investigate the events surrounding the Benghazi attacks, both before, during, and after the attacks. He resisted that. Now, my own theory is one of the reasons he resisted it has to do with, what is the president trying to cover up? What are they hiding? I think I know at least one of the items they're hiding, but I think there are many more. And we should, if the select committee is successful, and I hope they are, and I think they will be, a lot of information is going to come out. Now, we're not at the impeachment point yet, but if anything as explosive as a recording that really system that did Richard Nixon in, anything approaching that comes out, then I think there will be calls, most likely next year, for impeachment of the president. And then, depending on how the elections go, right now the House is controlled by the Republican Party and the Senate is controlled by the Democratic Party. But if the election should result in the House being controlled again for another 2 years by the Republicans, and I frankly think they might pick up a few seats, not that it's that critical, but it would add to their majority margin. But what's more important is whether or not the Republican Party will gain or regain control of the Senate. I think they will. The only question in my mind is how much. I'm hoping that they get 50 control of the Senate, but also get at least 54 Republican senators. I don't think 55, 56 or more is in the cards, but I really think there's a more than a 50-50 chance that the Republican Party will gain control of the Senate and have a small margin. And that's critical, because with the House of Representatives and the Senate controlled by the Republican Party, it makes it a lot more difficult for President Obama to ignore the will of the people and the representatives in Congress. And there's be a lot more pushback of what the president's doing, because he's really not obeying the law. He's not faithfully executing the laws of the United States. He doesn't get to pick and choose. He doesn't get to delay. Now, I'll quickly say, yes, there's some discretion, but not to anywhere near the extent that this president is exercising it. Now, I've given you what's happening right now, and I suspect usually these votes, especially when they're this important, do get delayed for what various reasons. I don't think the problem is on the Republican side. I firmly believe that the overwhelming majority of Republicans are going to vote for this select committee. The question I really think, and I think this is why the vote has been somewhat delayed, is how many, if any, Democrats are going to vote with the Republicans. Because remember, all House of Representatives are up for re-election come November. And politicians pay attention to polls. And poll after poll, the American people believe by 60% or more that there's a cover-up regarding Benghazi. The people that follow it firmly believe that. Now, I'll be the first to say there are many people that are not interested in politics, and they're certainly not interested in foreign policy. That is a problem. But what is going to happen probably late summer, early fall, is these hearings. There will be public hearings televised and broadcast so you can watch it. And obviously, if you're interested in sports or have other things going on, this is probably not your cup of tea. But there are a lot of people that want to know what went on. And there are going to be revelations. There are going to be answers to many of the questions that are still unanswered. Let me just give you a few. And let me first give you what I think is the most important question and a follow-up. Why was the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, in Benghazi, Libya? Why were they there? Now, why is this an important question? There have been news reports, as well as speculation, that the reason that the CIA had 35 people in what they call the CIA annex, which really is a compound of a group of buildings that were attacked, the reason why they were there initially was to ship arms as well as provide training to the Libyan rebels in Benghazi to overthrow the regime of Colonel Gaddafi. As you are well aware, they were successful doing that. But here's the problem. Gaddafi had been in power for decades, and he was corrupt, but he was getting money, billions of dollars, from the sale of petroleum. Libya is a major supplier of petroleum. It's about 1 or 2% of the world's supply, but for countries close to Libya, such as Italy, it's a major source of crude or petroleum. So over the years, he's literally, Gaddafi and his family and his supporters, got rich over oil, but they also spend a lot of that money buying weapons from many countries, but primarily Russia. And some of those weapons, like about 20,000 plus, were shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles that a person could put on his shoulder, point at a target, namely an airliner or a military aircraft, and as long as that aircraft is within range, roughly 10,000 to 15,000 feet, they can fire that surface-to-air missile, and they're very accurate as long as they're within range. Now, why should that worry you? Well, Gaddafi, on his various military bases, Army, Air Force, as well as Navy, had rifles, pistols, ammunition, artillery shells, artillery pieces, rocket-propelled grenades, mortars, a whole host of weapons, including these shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles. And as a result of his regime being overthrown, the Libyan rebels got access to those weapons, and many of these militias, and there are literally dozens of them, are not friendly to the United States. They're enemies of the United States. These are Islamic fanatics, religious fanatics, that do not wish the United States well. Well, that was the early history. So once Gaddafi was gone, the CIA, as well as special operation forces, were very busy trying to round up those weapons. they were partially successful, but not really completely successful, because all these weapons lockers, vaults, warehouses were broken in, and who knows who has those weapons today. They got into the wrong hands, and that was the problem. And I think President Obama arrogantly assumed that the situation could be under control. It wasn't. Now, to compound the mistake, we have the Assad regime in Syria, who is aligned with both Russia and Iran, engaged in a civil war. And remember, the Assads are Alawites, which is a branch, if you will, of Shiite Muslim. And the Iranians are Shiite Persians. So Iran supports the regime in Syria, Assad. But who is Assad fighting? He's fighting his own people, but he's really fighting Sunni Muslims, Arabs. That's the majority, roughly 88-89% of all people that are believers in the Islamic faith are Sunnis. The remainder, about 9 or 10, some cases 11%, these are just estimates, are Shiite. And you need to understand the Sunnis and the Shiites don't like each other, and the Arabs and the Iranians or Persians don't like each other. So this is a bloody civil war. It's estimated that over 150,000 people in Syria have died, and literally millions have fled the country into Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, and other places. They've fled the country. So you have a bloody civil war that is raging. The Assad regime has one of the largest stockpiles of both chemical and biological weapons. Now, what the CIA most likely was tasked, and the problem is the president has to order the CIA to do this, and to start this process, he has to sign what's called a finding, ordering the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, to engage in a covert operation, sometimes called a covert action, to do this. I strongly believe that President Obama believed that this was never going to see the light of day. This would never be on the news that he had ordered the Central Intelligence Agency into Libya as well as into Benghazi, not only to gather intelligence, but ship arms to the rebels both in Libya and Syria. And the reason it's important, many of these arms fell into the hands of military militias that really want to kill Americans. And that's exactly what they did on the anniversary of 9/11, on September 11, 2012. They attacked the diplomatic facility in Benghazi, and as a result of that, 4 Americans, including our ambassador, was killed. 2 State Department employees, including the ambassador, and 2 CIA security contractors that were there to provide protection or security to the CIA employees as well as other contractors that were in Benghazi. What you need to understand, Benghazi was a very unsafe place for Westerners, whether Europeans or Americans, because many of the groups that fought in the Civil War that overthrew Gaddafi are not friends with the United States. They don't want any part of the United States, and if you ever fell into their hands, would try to kill you, or at least kidnap you and torture you, and try to get money out of you. So the CIA was playing a very, very dangerous game, and they almost, remember, 4 people got killed. I think upwards of a dozen people got wounded, several seriously, and it could really have developed where more than 4 could have been killed. So there are a lot of unanswered questions about Benghazi, but the first one I would ask is, why was the Central Intelligence Agency there in the first place, and what were they doing? Were they shipping arms? Because once that question is answered, it's going to hit the fans, folks. What would your reaction be if it's clearly testified to, is the president ordered the Central Intelligence Agency to do this, and train and provide arms to really the enemies of the United States, Al-Qaeda-affiliated organizations that want to kill us? If you're an American citizen, your reaction is, the president of the United States ordered that? Is he crazy? He should be put in jail. That's treason. You see, the president is hiding something. I think he's hiding many things. And the reason he did it, he thought this was never going to be exposed. Never going to be exposed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the best laid plans come awry due to unforeseen consequences. And the unforeseen consequences is the lie the president told that Al-Qaeda was on the run was not true. Was not true. They weren't on the run. They were attacking both the diplomatic facility in Benghazi as well as the CIA annex. That is what is happening, and that is what the select committee, assuming the vote happens today, and I believe it will. I don't know. For all I know, it might have happened because it looks like it's about 5 o'clock now. It's 6 o'clock on the East Coast. I don't know what's delaying the vote, but once it's, I'll announce it tomorrow. Now, what I was going to, and I'll do this tomorrow, the president has launched a war on weather, a war on weather. First, it was global cooling. Then it was global warming. Then it was climate change. Now it's climate disruption. Really, what it is, ladies and gentlemen, is a war on weather. Now, I don't know about you, but my mother and father told me, children, you can't change the weather. Right today in Dallas, we're under a tornado watch. It's pouring rain. We need the rain. We need the rain. We don't need tornadoes. But the point, ladies and gentlemen, you can't do anything about the weather. So I was going to talk about the fraud that is climate change. But I'll do that the next show when I have more time. And I was additionally going to talk about Hillary Clinton's war on women. Because what also came out this week is Monica Lewinsky has an article in Vanity Fair talking about her relationship with Bill Clinton. Now, the point I was going to make and elaborate on is Hillary Clinton goes after the women. The problem is Bill Clinton can't seem to keep his private parts in his pants. That's the problem. But the reaction of Hillary Clinton is to go after the women. Why suddenly this pops up in the news? I'll tell you. Benghazi. These are two major distractions to try to distract you away to what really happened in Benghazi. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD.